paid
260 euros for a pair of Crocs, man.
Those shoes pretty much broke my foot.
It's only going downhill from here.
What up, guys? This is Josh.
And this is Fobs. And this is the Kickback Pod.
And we are back, the Kickback Pod, episode 68. Back once again with my man Fobs. You guys already know what time of the year it is. It is March, which means it is Air Max month. So naturally, the topic of today's episode, me and Fobs were scratching our heads over it, but we didn't have to think too long because it was pretty self-explanatory. We're going to get into what we believe are the 10 best Nike Air Max sneakers of all time. Definitely some debating went on to come up with this list, and you guys may or may not agree, but that's what we're here for, to hear your opinions. Let us know what we missed out on. But before we get into all of that, of course I want to know, my man Fobs, how you doing, man?
What up everyone. I first of all, I love that you said it's Air Max month. Like, we've basically turned Air Max day into Air Max month, which Nike and their whole marketing team is gonna love if anyone hears it that works at the Swoosh. But no, I've been good, man. I've just been, you know, stuck in the hamster wheel of life, just doing my thing, working, hanging out, not really doing much exciting stuff. But I know you have been doing a lot of shopping recently, but not for sneakers. What have you been up to, man?
So I've this year, as kind of like a New Year's resolution, me and the fiance, we really wanted to completely redesign the house, because basically our house makes no sense whatsoever. Our apartment, we've collected stuff over the years, things that me and her have been interested in. Me, of course, collected a bunch of, you know, Bear Bricks and Supreme merch, and she's got, you know, some more like sensible furniture going on. But this year we thought, you know what, let's it would be nice if our apartment actually had some kind of design language to it, if it actually, you know, made sense aesthetically to look at. So we actually ended up hiring an interior designer person to help us here. So she's been sending us some recommendations. So we've purchased a few things. I just bought a console table from the 60s, which is pretty cool.
Nice.
It might be a little haunted, who knows, but it's seen a lot. So, you know, I'm just trying to switch up the vibes in my house. And lately, my algorithm on TikTok is just all furniture. Like, there's no sneakers streetwear anymore. So that's where my head has been at recently.
Did this decision come before or after your Instagram story of when you went sofa shopping? And then, you know, that like one really popular sofa that's like super low to the ground, and you're like, damn, I'm way too tall for this. Was this like, man, you were looking at this and you're like, shit, this is not working. I need a professional.
Exactly. That it was around that same week. Yeah, like we had spent a week going into different like furniture stores, and we're like, honestly, this is not working. We can't. Neither of us are like design heads. We know nothing about interior design. We're like, let's just get some help with this. So that's kind of what I've been up to. Nice. Yeah, man. So I haven't been actually thinking too much about sneakers lately, even though I have been copying quite a few things, which I'll get into. But first I wanted to shout out the listener of the week, who is actually a follower of mine, of my YouTube channel. His name's Andre. I'm gonna be giving him another shout out later. Andre from Poland, shout out to you, man. And later on there's another shout out coming your way for a specific pickup, which I'll be getting into. But as far as what I've been wearing lately, it's been mainly Asics Gel 1130s. A lot of 1130s, both of the Hall Studio collabs, the Glacier colorway as well as the Forest one. Pretty much been living in those two shoes over the last week and a bit. They're great, man. Like, well, I have nothing bad to say about those. You know, the suede on them is perfect. The Glacier one, I just recently unboxed and un-DS'd them, threw on the orange laces on there. Very, very nice contrast. And I'm just a huge fan of the 1130 model and the Hall Studios, all three pairs. I guess one day I'll try to get that original colorway as well, but the prices are kind of crazy right now. So yeah, I've been wearing these a ton. and a couple of other pairs. One was the Size collab, which was sent to me from Size on the Adidas SL72. Very nice looking pair. Just I got the navy colorway. And that one too, honestly, not the most comfortable shoe, I'm going to be honest. But they look a bit classic. And they kind of just go with what I'm wearing. I'm into these slimmer models these days. So I've been wearing that one. And the last pair, which I cannot stop wearing, is the Sean Witherspoon Gazelles. Because, man, they look amazing in the springtime. Definitely some spring vibes with that shoe. And, yeah, very, very glad I have those.
Very nice. I've been on that Gel 1130 wave as well, man, recently. It's kind of the pair of shoes that sits right by the door and that I kind of slip on regardless of where I'm going, what I'm doing, because they're so comfortable. I've been wearing the beige colorway from the Harry Suede pack, which was one of my top sneakers of last year as well. And they are getting a lot of wear, let me tell you that. My wife has been wearing her gray colorway as well. So a lot of times we've been out and about, and then I'll look down, I'll realize we're matching, which was not planned. It's just like, you know, subconsciously you throw on whatever fits best or is most comfortable. And a lot of times it happens to be an ASICS sneaker. And then I've also been wearing a lot of my Salomon XT6 just because they're also very comfortable, but they're also a stable shoe. You know, they offer a lot of stability because they're a trail running shoe. And spring is around the corner. The weather has been a little bit better recently. We've been seeing a lot of the sky, a lot of the sun. And the colorway that I've been wearing is that really beautiful spring colorway that I picked up. I forget if it was last year or the year before. But yeah, super nice sneaker. And very, very happy with, yeah, both of those actually. So I've really only been wearing those two pairs.
Actually, I got to give you a shout out because I'm working on a video right now, which is like a Salomon brand guide. And a lot of it, I had to really do some research into what exactly is the difference between the XT4 and the XT6, because it is very similar looking, let's be honest. But luckily, the first link on Google is an article written by you about the difference between the XT4 and the XT6 that you wrote for High Snobiety, which I found extremely useful when filming my video. So big shout out to you, man.
Very nice, very nice. That good old SEO coming in handy for sure.
Still, oh man, your SEO skills were top notch, bro. Top of Google. Nice.
Thank you, bro. Let's move from what we've been wearing to latest pickups. You mentioned earlier that you have a few and a special one that you want to shout out Andre for. So why don't you get us started on that?
Yeah, so Andre helped me secure the Hidden New York Gel NYC. So this shoe is not even released yet. But if anyone listening to this podcast is in a sneaker Discord group based in Europe, then I'm sure your Discord group must have sent you that notification telling you that surprisingly the shoe just randomly stocked itself on the ASICS website at like 11:30 on a Tuesday. It was just super random without warning, and basically it was gone basically in 30 seconds or a minute. And my guy Andre, he knew I wanted this shoe and I was the size 11. He actually picked up two pairs of the shoe, one for himself, one for me, DM'd me, said, yo, this one just stocked up, I got your size, do you want me to send it to you? I'm like, yeah, of course, man. So that's on the way, should be getting it in a couple of days. So very, very, very excited to get that one, because that was definitely one of the sneakers I was looking forward to the most this year. I can't wait to review those, so watch for that coming soon on the channel. Another one that I picked up, I've been getting a lot into this brand this year, so this is actually my second pickup already from this brand this year. That's Hoka. So I picked up the Hoka Aura 1. Now, the best way to describe this is it's not really a sneaker. It's more of like a winter slipper. A weird shoe to pick up, I know, going into the springtime. But it's basically a slipper which is quite heavily padded. And it has these really funky laces on there that serve no purpose whatsoever. They kind of look like sandworms from the Dune movie. Which, by the way, if you guys haven't already seen Dune 2, it is incredible. I actually... I'm going to watch it again because I want to see the movie in IMAX. I just thought It was incredible. Go watch it. But yeah, it looks like sandworms on top of the sneaker. And they're very, very comfortable. Also very affordable. They only sell for 120 euros. And I wanted to give them a shot. And another shoe that I picked up that we've talked about quite negatively, I would say, on this podcast is the Book Ones. The Devin Booker shoes, his signature sneaker, which I know you fobs have had very strong opinions of. And me too. I continue to say that it is one of the most boring looking basketball signature sneakers we've seen ever. And I still think that after receiving the shoe, after wearing it, I still think it looks extremely boring. However, I will say that if the purpose of the sneaker was to make a off the court and on the court shoe, it does work really well for that purpose, because I tried wearing that shoe with just some normal cargo pants and then I wore it with jeans. You couldn't tell that these were basketball sneakers. They just looked like normal sneakers. So if that was the purpose for the shoe, then mission accomplished, I would say. But that doesn't take away from the fact that it is not a good-looking shoe. Well, do you have any more thoughts about the Book Ones?
No, I mean, I would say that if Tom Sachs hadn't already picked the name The Boring Shoe, then this would definitely have been called The Boring Shoe. Honestly, I think it's so mid, man. Like, it is a mid shoe. It's like a solid 4 out of 10. It's not the worst shoe I've ever seen. But it's definitely not a good shoe. In the sense that it's there's nothing really wrong with it. I don't want to say it's ugly. It's not ugly, but it just doesn't get me excited, you know? So it's kind of like, it's a 4 out of 10, you know? I don't know. It's if I saw 100 of these, I probably wouldn't even notice.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's kind of below mid. I would say 4 out of 10 is a bit high for it. And that is my argument, too, for everyone who says, oh, yeah, but it's the perfect on and off the court shoe. My response is always, why would you want to wear something so mid off the court when you can go get anything else, an Air Force One, a Nike Blazer? Why would you want to wear these? Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're good looking either.
Hey, that's a good question, man. But you have a pair now, so
I just got it to review. It's not a pair to keep in the collection. I was doing a video comparing the Book Ones to the Anthony Edwards ones, so that was the reason why I purchased these, but I won't be keeping them.
I was about to say we're gonna see you in these quite a lot, but it's not happening. One shoe that you guys will not be seeing me in a lot is actually one of my latest pickups. I picked up an ASICS Gel Cayano 30 as a running shoe, and I went running in them because I've mentioned this so many times that I feel weird saying it again. Like, you know, like, oh, by the way, I'm running the half marathon, guys. Did you know? But I am running the half marathon in April, and I figured I needed like a new pair of shoes. And so I went to get like a really good analysis of my running and had like a really good talk with one of the sales associates, and they gave me some really nice recommendations, and we settled on the Jockey.
Hold on. Go back up. What does that convo sound like?
So
analysis of your running, what does that even mean?
They watch you run, and then they watch your gait and like whether you're like...
Your gait? What is a gait?
A gait is like the movement of your legs as you're walking or running. That's your gait.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Man, am I the only person who didn't know this? Okay.
All right. It's spelled G-A-I-T, gait.
Okay. See, I didn't even know that. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, so basically they watch you run. They talk to you first about like what kind of shoes you've worn recently, what you like about them, what you don't like about them, any injuries. For me, it's that I have flat feet, so I wear special insoles, and I also have a busted ankle on one side, so I kind of compensate more on my left side. And she basically was like, okay, yeah, you need more stability, but you obviously like the softer shoes. So then she gave me a few options. She gave me like a shoe that's a little bit harder but more stable. She gave me a shoe that's softer, and then I kind of ran around the block in those, and she watched me run and was like, okay, like try them with your insoles, without your insoles, let's see like whether it makes a difference. And we settled on the Gel Cayano 30 because it is a shoe that offers comfort. It's very, very soft, but it also has extra stability. So it means that it supports your ankle, it supports your leg, and so that your muscles don't have to, I mean, they still have to do work, right? But not in terms of stabilizing yourself whilst you're running as much as maybe if you were running a pair of Alpha Flies or something like that, because those are a pure speed shoe, right? And so, yeah, anyways, long story short, I bought the Gel Cayano 30. I was super happy with it. And then I ran in it and I realized that I should have got a size or even a size and a half bigger, because not my big toe, but my small toes were like rubbing against the sides. So like my feet are too wide for them. And I didn't realize this running, you know, up and down the block, but after running 3, 4, 5 kilometers, my toes started to really hurt. So now I have to bring them back. So long story short, I don't know if it's going to remain a pickup of mine. I'll have to see if I can return them after I've run in them. And I also, I'm an idiot. I got rid of the box. So, I don't know if this, yeah, I'm actually now it's tomorrow, but like by the time you guys are listening to this, I will have already been to the store and have tried to figure out whether or not I can return these shoes. So that's one pickup. And then I was actually sent to pairs of Mizuno shoes, shout out to Vince and the Mizuno team. I appreciate that big time. I got the Wave Rider 10 and the Wave Rider Beta in this beautiful kind of steel blue, gray, bluish colorway from the latest pack. And you can never go wrong with Mizuno, man. They're so comfortable. They're so clean. The materials are nice. Comfort is out of this world. So I'm definitely going to be rocking those a lot in this spring, summer period. And yeah, that's it. So one pickup that I might return and two pickups that I didn't actually buy, but I'm very, very happy with.
Wait, so going back to when you said they just watch you run up and down the block. So that means you're literally running outside the store and they're just watching you run?
Yeah, so I was actually like, for those of you in Berlin, I went to this store called Spreeläufer on Danziger Straße, and I was literally, and I know that's like your hood, right? I was running up and down.
Yeah, I know exactly what store you're talking about.
Yeah, I was running up and down the street there, like next to, what's that Mexican place called? Santa Maria or whatever?
Santa Maria, exactly.
Santa Maria. I was just running up and down the block there, and the sales associate was watching me run and basically commenting on my gait and on my form and stuff like that. And I recommend it if anyone wants to get into running or has been running but doesn't really know if the shoes that they're wearing are right for them, head to your local store, man. I would avoid like the Snipes and Foot Locker type of stores and go for more of like a specialty store. The store that I went to doesn't have any Nike or Adidas shoes because they said that they're all trash for running. They only have like Asics, On, Mizuno, Brooks, Saucony, etc. New Balance, of course. And yeah, I recommend it. It was a really good experience. I learned a lot about my foot, my muscles and stuff like that. So definitely worth it if you're interested in that kind of stuff.
Interesting. No, good to know. I think I'll probably check out that store too, knowing that these guys seem to be real experts in suggesting the right shoe for you. I didn't even know there was like, you know, running shoe stores specifically for that purpose. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, there's a few in Berlin, a few in Kudamm as well that are a little bit bigger. And then this one is more, I think, independent and like mom and pop type. So they don't have a huge selection, but they've got the best or the most relevant running shoes for like amateur runners, I would say.
Oh, actually, I just thought of some. Didn't you go also to the High Snobiety store opening event
in Berlin? Yeah, I did.
How was the store? I haven't seen it yet.
It was cool. The space was cool. It was big. They said that they were going to use it as like a multi-purpose space as well. Host events, host like talks, and maybe like some like event, like concerts, music events, socializing gatherings, whatever. The space was cool. The location, I don't know, man. Like I never really go to that area of town,
it's
especially
pretty much
to shop.
Right outside like Brandenburg Gate, right?
Basically. So like, I think they're banking on them being a destination that people go to just for them. And I mean, fair enough. It's a cool store. They have some cool stuff as well. All of the stuff that you can get on their web store as well online, just obviously in person. And you know, knowing High Snob, they're always going to make sure that the, you know, the vibe of the store, the decorations, the way that they've kind of assorted their products and you know, the stuff that they put on the walls and stuff like that. It's always going to look dope. So if you're in Berlin, if you're from Berlin, if you're traveling to Berlin, I would say it's probably another store to put on your list of stores to check out, which is cool because it means that we're getting more and more cool stuff here.
Right, definitely. The fact that they put it in that location tells me that, okay, they're trying to get the tourists as well, because that's like a heavy tourist area.
For sure. I mean, it's, for sure. I would be surprised if tourists aren't the majority of people. I mean, look at Kudamm. Kudamm is tourist hotspot as well, right? So that's like Soulbox is getting a lot of tourists as well, as well as then like being a location for people to go to. It's just that Kudamm is a little bit more established as a shopping street, whilst Unter den Linden is not really established as that just yet. But who knows? Maybe Highsnob is the first of many stores to go there. So I guess we'll see. Time will tell.
Yep. All right. So let's move into our big topic. So we're going to be discussing, well, it was very hard to come up with this list, but we are going to try to discuss the top 10 Air Max sneakers of all time. And we don't mean models here, we mean specific sneakers, specific drops. There's definitely, you know, some collabs in there, there's some GRs in there, all of which we thought were pretty iconic. A few of them that didn't make the list that you guys might be surprised didn't make the list. For example, we didn't put all of the Off-White Air Maxes in this. There were several, of course. You know, we couldn't put all three in the top 10, so we chose one from there. We also, there was one sneaker that I thought personally belonged in the top 10, which was maybe the Skepta 97s, but that one was a bit recent, and also maybe there were maybe too many 97s on the list already. Was there any that you thought borderline could have been on here?
Man, so many. We had such a long list. I think we had a list of like 30, 40 sneakers that we put together, and then picking 10, it's difficult. And let's preface this by saying this is our personal list, a combined personal list. And obviously, like, we had to make concessions. You know, Josh wanted a couple on there, I wanted a couple on there. So we, you know, had to compromise, which is fine. And I think we're both happy with the list that we have in the end. I think that there's going to be a few picks that raise a few eyebrows, of course. And we'd love to talk to you guys about that. So, I don't want to tease too much. I think we should just jump right in. But yeah, just keep in mind, this is a personal list and yours will likely be very different. There are so many different Air Maxes that, could have been on this list that are iconic that we didn't put on this list, not because they're not iconic, not because they're not worthy of being on a top 10, but just because, you know, this is a personal list and we have our reasons for putting the sneakers on here that are in the top 10. So, without further ado, I will kick us off with the 10th ranked sneaker on this list. It is the Comme des Garçons Nike Air Max 180 pack. And for those of you who weren't into sneakers back then, or, you know, have forgotten, because 2017 is not a long time ago, but 7 years ago, you reminded me before we started recording, which is crazy. 2017 to me is like 2 years ago, but I guess that's
feel
also
that long ago. Yeah,
it's because COVID also like as jumbled time. And I also remember when I was in university, when it was like, or actually more like when it was just after university, like 2016, 2017, 2018, I used to think like, oh, 2010 was like a couple of years back, you know, 2009, mm-hmm. but nah, back then that was already 7 years ago. So it's funny how the mind works. But yeah, the CDG Air Max 180 was a pack of three Air Max 180 sneakers, and all three of them came in hot pink. One was pink with white overlays, one was pink with black overlays, and one was all pink. And I think what we really liked about this shoe was that this was a hot pink pack, but it wasn't like pink in a traditional feminine women's way. You know, it wasn't like that stereotypical, these shoes are for women. It was just like, this is a fashion sneaker and this is pink. because Comme des Garçons does what it wants and it does it well. And I remember when these dropped, like everybody was just, I was working at High Snob at the time and everybody in the office wanted them. And I remember the week after these came out, there were maybe like four or five colleagues all wearing one of the colorways in the office at the same time. And it was, it just showed like how influential CDG has, you know, always been and has become and was at the time, especially through its sneaker collaborations. And yeah. Oh, sorry. These dropped in 2018. My bad. But still, point stands. It is a while back. And the Air Max 180 is, I feel, and let me know what you think as well, JD, here, but I feel like it's a bit of an underrated sneaker or Air Max model, because a lot of love goes to the 90, the 1, the 97, the 95, the 98, etc. And then some of the newer models. The 180 gets forgotten a little bit, and it's an iconic sneaker in its own right because it's the first Air Max sneaker or first Nike sneaker with 180 degrees of air, right? Mm-hmm. Where the air bubble goes from one side to the other. And it's a very comfortable shoe. It's got this like neoprene tongue and booty, like inner boot, which makes it super nice to slip on and off. I actually have the Berlin colorway from a few years ago, which is, you know, inspired by that one Berlin.
Too. Those are hard, man. I still get compliments anytime I wear those.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, we could have put those on the list as well, man. But I think CDG just has a different standing as well. Like the Berlins are nice and it's cool to have like one of those local colorways. But CDG kind of just hits different. And I mean, we saw that at the last Fashion Week as well with a Air Max TL 2.5s, I think it was. How hot those were and how many people wanted those and how like anticipated they still are. Like, I really want a pair. And I think all in all, yeah, man. I mean, you can't really go wrong with a CDG Air Max and a 180, good model, hot pink, eye-catching. What do you think, man?
Dude, this shoe actually means a lot to me because I first really started getting into sneakers maybe towards the end of 2016, 2017 beginning. And I remember when these shoes came out, I thought they were so hard because I'd never really seen this hot pink color on a sneaker before. And it instantly became a shoe that I really, really wanted. And back then, I honestly didn't have a lot of money. I had no chance of attaining the shoe. And I've kind of been on the hunt for them ever since. I remember even watching a sneaker shopping episode and Joe LaPuma put them on. And it reminded me once again about like how much I love the black colorway specifically. And this is still a shoe, no word of a lie, that I search for basically every month on Depop, on Vinted. I search these platforms all the time to find like a good used pair because I definitely want to add the black and pink one to my collection just because I just have a lot of memories of thirsting for that shoe back when I was first getting into sneakers. So I definitely think it belongs on the list.
Yeah, for sure. I think you said it. Personal connections always help when making these lists as well. When you have memories of a certain release, whether it's like a grail or just like you have that special connection because you were in a special place with a special person, a special time of your life, and you got that sneaker. So makes it all the more special. Yeah, so that is our 10th ranked sneaker on this list. Let's move to number 9. JD, what we got there?
So at number 9, you and me had a discussion about which one should go here. So we already know one of the most iconic collaborators on the Air Max is Pata, a very long storied history of collaborations. And you felt that we should have the Pata Air Max 1 Chlorophyll on here. And I said, no, well, let's have the one of the latest ones, which is the Pata Air Max 1 Wave, let's call them. There's quite a few colorways now that have dropped of the Wave. It doesn't matter which one, I just meant like the sneaker in general. And I believe that sneaker should definitely be on the list because it's an example of Pata not changing too much about the Air Max 1, just making one subtle change, and it almost made the shoe look like an entirely new shoe. It gave longtime fans of the Air Max 1 a whole new different lens to look at the Air Max 1 through. And it was like a shoe that was universally loved, you know, like even the diehard Air Max fans none of them were like, oh yeah, that's ugly, why did they make the mud guard into a wave shape? Like, everyone was like, damn, that looks super hot. You know, I didn't see any negative things said about this shoe. And yeah, for that reason, you know, like, it was just a subtle change to a classic model and it worked really well. But the chlorophylls, you know, like, I'll be honest, I've never understood the hype on the chlorophylls, because to me it looks like a green Air Max 1. It looks like a general release colorway to me. I never understood the hype on that one, but I get that, you know, it's historic, it's a Patek collab, and it's much sought after by the Air Max heads out there. But to me, it looks like a GR, man. Like, I'm gonna be honest, the wave, however, man, those are fire. I recently sold my Aqua pair, but those are hard, and I think those are the best Patek collab so far.
I mean, I think you make some good points. I think OG Air Max heads are gonna definitely cancel us, because there have been so many Pata and Para Air Max ones that have just been so, so good. And I think when it comes to, like, Grail status and hype, like, the earlier ones are obviously more coveted and probably, in my personal opinion, more iconic than the Wave. But what makes the Wave pack so special is that, to us, it's the culmination of Pata's work with Nike and on the Air Max 1. The Air Max 1 Wave could not exist without the others being so successful and giving Pata that creative license within Nike to change one of its most iconic silhouettes, right? So you don't get to just go to Nike and be like, you know what, we're going to change the mud guard of the Air Max 1 to a wave. No way. Nobody's allowed to do that. Every single collaborator has to work within a specific box and a specific set of rules that Nike sets for them, right? That's why Kanye left. That's why a lot of sneakers for high-profile collaborators have just been, you know, special colorways, SMUs or something like that, because they literally have to earn the right to change something on an iconic design like the Air Max 1, and Pata has done that. And so I think the Wave means a lot because of that. It just shows it's basically the result of a lot of hard work, and in the end, as Josh, you said, it is such a subtle change, but it makes such a difference to the shoe, and it changes it in a way that many people didn't think was possible. It gives it another dimension, and taking nothing away from the original is still a classic, it's still amazing, but this is, it's not better, it's just, it's as good in a different way. You know what I mean? Yes. And so I think that's probably the justification for putting this on the top 10 list ahead of other Pata Nike Air Max ones. That being said, I mean, our list of 30, 40 sneakers had several Pata Air Max ones on here. So please do not think that we don't respect the iconic status of those shoes. It was just that for us, the reasoning behind it was basically what I just said, that this was the symbol of Pata and Nike's relationship. So yeah, the Pata Air Max 1, the Wave at number 9. Moving to number 8, we have a general release pair that actually sat on shelves when it first released. I'm talking about the Nike Air Max 90 Independence Day pack. So if you'll remember, this is the all red, all blue, and all white pairs that dropped around, oh man, was it 2012, 2013, 2014, something like that. And this shoe was just a regular Air Max 90 made out of Hyperfuse material, which was one of Nike's bigger innovations of the time. So it was more technical than other Nike Air Max 90s. It wasn't, you know, there weren't any overlays. It was just one kind of molded upper. And again, these sat on shelves until a certain someone wore them. Kanye West was seen wearing the all red pair, and then they started flying off shelves. And I think you could get them for like under $100 back then, which was wild. And then the resale on these just went crazy. I think I remember like really wanting a pair because like it was like Red October season, all red shoes were a thing, and these just kind of popped off. And for those of you who weren't around at the time, or maybe have forgotten or maybe weren't interested in Nike shoes, it was pretty similar to when Kanye wore the Adidas. What did he wear? He wore the Pure Boost and then he wore the Ultra Boost or something like that. And those just skyrocketed and you couldn't get the OG pair because, or the OG colorway, because everybody wanted them and they sold out. And it was exactly like this, except these had actually been on the clearance rack just before. So I would say these are not super special in what they stood for or the design, but who wore them made them special, and the impact they had after that. It was like the classic case of influencer marketing for me. So that's why we put these at number 8 on our list.
Man, honestly, I didn't know much about this sneaker before listening to you talk about its very unique history of being a pretty much an outlet shoe and then Kanye taking it to cult status. But yeah, I mean, it shows you how, first of all, how much of an influence Kanye has been since forever. And the fact that this sneaker still resells for so much money, even though it was an outlet shoe at one time. Yeah, that says a lot. Good pick. Good. Pretty niche pick, I would say. I'm not sure too many people know about it, but the resale price speaks for itself.
Yeah. And the Hyperfuse material was cool. Like I said, not a special shoe in any way. Literally, it's an all blue, an all red, and an all white Air Max 90 in Hyperfuse material with the American flag on it. But Kanye made it special, which just speaks to kind of who he was and how much influence he had at the time. Moving yeah. on to number 7. Josh, what do we have there?
So at number 7, we had to also talk about this model, one of the most iconic Air Max models. That is the 95s. So the 95, it's iconic because it was the first Air Max model to feature air from the toe all the way to the heel. And then following that, we saw some other models also incorporated, like the 96, the 97s, the 98s. But the 95s did it first, and it was a very, very big deal. That sneaker is, if you have especially grown up in the UK, you know how iconic that sneaker is in the British streetwear scene. And that's also why Cortez chose that shoe. But the specific model that I've chosen for this top 10 list is the neon colorway. So it is just a general release, but the neon 95s, I mean, I think it goes without saying, one of the most iconic Nike Air Max sneakers ever. It's so much so, in fact, that colorway, the neon, has become pretty much like a heritage colorway now for the brand, for Nike. We've seen them throw that colorway on countless sneakers, like even those shoes that we've been shitting on every episode, which is the Book Ones. The Book Ones are actually even going to be coming out in a neon colorway at some point, inspired by the Air Max 95 neons, and several other shoes as well. It's an incredible colorway and looks the best on this 95 model. And yeah, I mean, didn't want to give no loves to the 95 at all on this list. We had to include one. And if we had to pick one Air Max 95, it's got to be the Neon 95s, in my opinion. Yeah, oh, even, you know who else would agree with me? The Game.
The Game, and also Action Bronson, because his New Balance collab, the 1906R, they're not inspired by the Air Max 95 per se, but they're inspired by women's colorways from the 80s and the 90s, and that was neon. That's why neon is incorporated in that one colorway. And I think the Air Max 95 neon definitely played a part in his mood board, whether you know he will admit it or not. I think that the shoe colors can be seen in his upcoming drops. So definitely a very, very influential shoe, the Air Max 95. I've never really been a huge fan personally, just because I found them too bulky, but there have been some really nice releases recently, some nice general releases. There's actually a colleague of mine at High Snob, Dan was his name. He only wore 95s. He was a huge 95 head from the UK. And I know that the 95s are a big thing in England, in London. So Yeah, shout out Dan. You probably don't even listen to this podcast, man, but if you ever do, shout out. moving on to number six on this list, we have the Cactus Plant Flea Market VaporMax. And oof, I know this might be a controversial pick because the VaporMax is a controversial sneaker. It is a bit overdone. I would say when it first came out, it made a bang. And not just the Cactus Plant Flea Market shoe, but the VaporMax itself was pretty revolutionary in that it took Air Max to the next level. It literally, the whole sole was an air bubble. There was nothing else. It was just an air bubble sole, right? Which
it was a big deal, man. When the VaporMax came out, like, it's not even unfair to say that the VaporMax outside of the early 90s Air Max models, maybe the most iconic model, let's say, from the 2000s and later from the Air Max line.
Yeah, I think that's a fair call. And the Cactus Plant Flea Market version is, I believe it was one of the first Cactus Plant Flea Market collabs, if not the first. It made waves. It was very in line with Cactus Plant Flea Market. They really took the VaporMax to the next level. And I think it was a really great fit because Cactus Plant Flea Market is a very jovial brand, a very lighthearted, fun, you know, bold graphic driven brand. And the VaporMax lends itself very well to that because it's a very futuristic shoe, but it's also very like out there, kind of spacey, funny looking also shoe. So what Cactus Plant Flea Market did with it worked really well. You know, I mean, if you want to go by resale, which, you know, is obviously one part of what makes a shoe not special, but iconic and historically relevant. Resale prices are pretty high for that. They have always been high. But overall, I'd say that it is a firm and safe pick at number six on our list. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's worthy of having it's definitely the VaporMax, I think, is worth having on this list. And you can say that the two best VaporMaxes ever were maybe the Cactus Plant one and then the Off-White one. But I still think that out of those two, ooh, I would say the Cactus Plant one to me is the better choice. That whole honestly, DIY aesthetic.
I would argue that the acronym Slip-On VaporMax, the VaporMax Mach, is better than the Off-White. But that's just my personal opinion.
Whoa, that's... You really think so, man? Those acronym colorways were so wild, though.
Bro, I had the black and white one, and that was such a sick shoe. Like
the one with the neon yellow tongue?
Yeah, I mean, it had neon yellow accents, but it was like black and white, like stripes or like zigzags or whatever.
Zigzags, yeah. It looked like the Nigeria jersey.
Yeah, basically. Man, I had both. I had the Off-Whites, and I had the acronyms, and I personally prefer the acronyms also just because the slip-on nature of them was nice, and I don't know, I thought the colorways was more eye-catching than just like all black or all white. But again, that's just me, man.
Okay, I mean, I would say the Cactus Plants out of these three, I think definitely deserves to be on this list. It's the best VaporMax model, but it is kind of like surprising that the VaporMax has essentially completely died over the last several years now, because I did think that, okay, that model has potential to kind of, you know, carry forward the strong history of Nike Air Max, right? It feels like every other year Nike comes out with a new model. Like, you remember the Air Max 270, which was supposedly going to be a big deal, but that kind of died out too after a couple years. And now,
I mean,
it died out
on like the hype level, but you see a lot of people wearing the 270 in Berlin on the streets. Like, a lot of kids wearing 270.
But I mean, they don't even sell that shoe anymore, though. Do they even make new ones?
Probably not, but like, it was like one of those shoes that like everybody in the mainstream wears. It permeated the mainstream, and so I think for that reason it was like it was a shoe of the streets almost. In a way.
And I do think that the newest shoe coming out this year, which I really like, the Air Max DN, I do think that this one has one of the best chances, you know, relatively speaking, like compared to the VaporMax, since the VaporMax, to really catch on with the public, because it's a very, very kind of out there looking shoe, which the VaporMax kind of was too. And it's just super comfortable. I just feel like people are going to wear these. They're going to love them. They're going to want them in many different colors. I can see this shoe really catching on for Nike. Well, that's my prediction, at least. I think the DN could be big.
The Air Max D's nuts?
The Air Max D's nuts, exactly. Oh, man. Like every single comment underneath pictures of that shoe, is people saying it's the Air Max D's nuts. And I'm surprised Nike didn't think of that before calling it the DN.
I mean, it just shows how immature the sneaker community can be sometimes. So let's not dwell on that too much. Take us into the top five, man. What do we have on?
Yeah, so at number five, we have a very, very iconic colorway of the Air Max 90. This is the DQM Air Max 90 Bacon, which is one of the most classic, of course, Air Max models, released back in 2004. And what's really interesting about this shoe is kind of the story behind how this colorway even came about. The creator of the shoe, Dave Ortiz, he was thinking about for a long time what he wanted his collaboration with Nike to look like, and just couldn't make up his mind at all. He had 2 days left until the deadline of where he had to produce some kind of design, and he literally just ended up going to his local bodega, and he was eating a breakfast sandwich, and he was just thinking about, you know, what can I design that everyone is gonna like. And back then, veganism wasn't really a big deal. He was enjoying that bacon and thinking to himself, hey, everyone loves bacon, why don't I just make a bacon colored shoe? And that's literally what he submitted 2 days later. And thankfully, Nike loved it, went ahead with the idea, and gave us the Air Max 90 Bacon with the maroon tones, the pink in there. It looks great on that model, can't deny it. And clearly, people love this shoe because a couple of years ago, there was a retro of this, which Air Max fans were very happy about. It sold out. And I think that speaks for itself. Super classic model, one of the most iconic Air Max 90s, I would say. And yeah, I definitely think it deserves to be on this list.
Oh, what for sure. For sure. There was a time when the Air Max 90 was my all-time favorite sneaker, and I would sit at home. This was when I was in high school, when I was living in Thailand. I would sit at home, and back then in like the 90s, early 2000s, you couldn't get shit in Thailand, right? Like, you got like the basic stuff. And I remember sitting at home on my computer, just like opening up Foot Locker US websites or the European Foot Locker websites, and just looking at all of the Air Max 90 colorways that I couldn't get until I was like in Germany for the summer or had a friend in the States or something like that. And I remember just wanting every single one. I loved the Air Max 90. I thought the Air Max 90 was the shit. It was one of my favorite shoes. And I mean, still is, looking back. Like, it's a really, really great shoe. And the bacon, I mean, who doesn't love some greasy bacon with eggs in the morning? So I think the execution of that was really good. Like, if you looked at that shoe and you didn't know it was called the Bacon, it probably wouldn't take you too long to guess that it was inspired by bacon, just from the colors, like as you were describing, and the overall look and feel of the shoe. Dave Quality Meats as well, really cool store that unfortunately shut down some time ago, but I was lucky enough to check it out one time on my travels to New York. And yeah, one of those like independent stores. I don't know what you call it, like one of those old New York buildings where you like walk down the steps from the street and you're like almost you're not in the cellar, but like it's like a walk down kind of. I don't know how to call it in German. You would say souterrain, so like it's like a below ground level store. Anyway, super cool store. Love checking it out the one time that I was there. Had some really cool apparel, some really cool like clothing as well, some nice brands, and yeah. it came back as a retro, so that just speaks to the strength of that release so many years ago. Definitely a worthy spot in our top five. Moving on to the fourth placed sneaker on this list, we have our first and only off-white Air Max shoe, and it is the Air Max 90, so we're sticking with the 90 here. I mean, we've both just talked about the Air Max 90 as a model, as a whole. Iconic shoe, super comfortable. In my opinion, underrated. Really, really interesting design with that kind of molded midsole panel that shows you the air bubble in the middle. And the off-white pair from the original 10, I mean, pretty much every single shoe in that original, the 10, was dope.
Iconic.
Right? For like pretty much the same reasons. The colorways were dope. The fact that it influenced a design language and visual aesthetic and identity in the years that followed. There were so many copycats, so many people using the orange and the black and white stripes and that like off-white Nike aesthetic in their customs, in their own brands, in their knockoffs and stuff like that. So
I mean, Nike themselves did it. Like Nike came out with the Air Max 90 Terrascape or Terraform, which was pretty much an off-white Air Max 90 knockoff, let's be honest.
And exactly. No, I think this pick here in fourth place isn't so much about the Air Max 90, but more so about just off-white Air Max. Like, I think we could have probably picked any of the three, right, and put them in there. So I think we've already talked about the Vapor Max, the Air Max 97. I have a pair sitting behind me here in my bedroom. Beautiful, beautiful shoe as well. We literally could have picked any of the three, but I think the Air Max 90, because the 90 is so historically relevant, and I think the execution on that was just maybe a touch above because the materials like the 97 is dope, but the 90 just has more varied materials, and so I think that just puts it like a touch above those. But again, all three also worthy of being on a top 10 if you know you wish to put them in your top 10. We chose only to put one in there, and it ended up being the Air Max 90. So yeah, great shoe, man. What, like, you have a pair, right?
I have a pair of the Air Max 90s, and I absolutely love it. I think it's one of those shoes I just never, ever want to sell, just because I appreciate the thought process, the work that went into it. That whole concept that Virgil had about, you know, deconstructing a shoe, making it look like it's inside out, it really shows on the Air Max 90. Also, I've loved the way that the icy blue outsole has kind of aged over time. It's a bit yellowish now, which I personally like. I know a lot of people don't like that, but man, it's such a nice looking shoe, man. It's so, and it's aged really well, just like Virgil wanted it to age. So I'm a big fan of that one. I think out of the three off-white Air Maxes, this was for me the best.
Yeah, for sure. All right, we are into our top three. JD, take it away.
Top three. Okay, at number three, it is the Atmos Nike Air Max 1 elephant print. Or I believe it was just called the Atmos Nike Air Max. What am I talking about? It was called the Atmos Nike Air Max 1. So this sneaker, as you guys know, it features the elephant print, which was from the Jordan 3. And this sneaker dropped back in 2007. Of course, Air Max fans were a huge fan of this sneaker because of seeing that familiar Jordan print shown on an Air Max sneaker. And Atmos themselves were huge fans of the Jordan 3, which is why they chose that colorway on the shoe. And this shoe was so good, so iconic, that in 2016, when Nike had they had that Air Max Day 2016, where they would allow fans to choose one model to be retroed, that was the first time Nike ran that competition. And out of 100 different sneakers from Air Max's history, the fans themselves chose the Atmos Air Max 1 as the sneaker, the Air Max sneaker that they wanted to see Nike bring back. And I think that speaks louder than pretty much anything else. Out of every sneaker, the fans themselves chose this one model, and hence it was called the chosen one. I think the fans spoke here on what they thought was the most iconic shoe. And this sneaker, man, just in terms of looks, I've always loved the jade color on that swoosh. And this one, straight classic. Never been a huge fan of the elephant print, but somehow it works really well on this model.
Yeah, it's crazy. So it came out 2007, right, you said? And then 2017. Yeah. 2017 came the retro that was voted on in 2016. So for the 10-year anniversary, basically. Really cool shoe. I love the fact that it combines like the Jordan line with the Air Max line, which is just so iconic. And in 2007, like, who would have thought like putting the elephant print on a different shoe was possible? Super, super cool idea. At this point, though, I think it's important to say we could have put any or all of the Atmos Air Maxes on this list. I mean, the Air Max One Safari from 2002, the 95 Animal Pack. Atmos has done so much good stuff with the Air Max, and so much stuff has come back as a retro over the last few years. It just speaks to Atmos's influence and just the fact that they had their finger on the pulse of culture back then and still do now. Atmos is legendary worldwide. I mean, it's a Japanese retail chain that, you know, has or had a presence in the US. I think they've backed out of the US again now. But I mean, looking at resale prices and then also looking at like how crazy people go over these shoes, like people who have been into Air Max all their life, whose favorite shoe is the Air Max One, for them an Atmos Elephant from 2007 is a grail. And the 2017 pair, I mean, we were just talking about it, it would be 7 years old now, right? So the 2007 pair is probably not wearable anymore because the crumbling of the midsole, but you probably could get away with wearing a 2017 pair. And
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, the jade swoosh, the black quarter panel, the white toe box. From a design standpoint, it's just a great shoe and has kind of stood the test of time. So definitely a very worthy pick to kick off our top three, in my opinion, or in our opinion, actually. Moving on to the second placed shoe on this list, we have a Generally shoe. So we've had a lot of collaborations. Then we had a couple of Generally pairs at 8 and 7 respectively, the Air Max 90 Independence Day and the Air Max 95 Neon. Now it is time for our third Generally of this list and our second best Air Max sneaker of all time. It is the Nike Air Max 97 Silver Bullet, because the 97 alone is just iconic. It is the first shoe that had a wraparound, full-length, visible Air unit, which, I mean, makes it historical, revolutionary, iconic in its own right. But then the Silver Bullet is a colorway that it comes back every couple years. Nike knows that people love this shoe, and Nike knows that people are going to buy the shoe regardless of whether the last pair came out 2 or 3 years ago, because it's just such a good colorway, man. That silver, I've got to say, this is probably one of my favorite Air Max sneakers of all time. And I want to quickly talk about the new version that came out. I don't know if you saw it on Instagram recently. There's like a new Air Max 97 that looks a little bit like, you know that meme, like, no, you don't need the Air Max 97 Silver Bullet, we have the 97 Silver Bullet at home, and then it's like a takedown version. That's what it looks like. It's really hard to describe, but it looks like it's almost been like squished together.
But is it supposed to be a retro, or like
it's like a remastered version. They've like made it a little bit different for whatever reason. A total fail, in my opinion. I think they should have just kept it OG and done a re-release of the OG. But yeah, if you have a chance to Google this, I will try and find the name in a second and let you guys know. But overall, man, 97 Silver Bullet, what are your thoughts?
Oh, you're talking about this Air Max 97 Futura Silver Bullet?
Yes.
Oh, bro, these are hideous. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Damn, these are... What's up with all those, like, bubbles on the near the laces?
It's weird, huh?
It's super weird. Nah, why did they do this? Nobody asked for this.
They've taken an amazing... Almost, like, they've taken, for me, like, in a perfect shoe... And changed it. For what reason? I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, no, this shoe is, I mean, it's so, so iconic, man. And especially in Europe, I know how big this shoe is in Italy. So much so that whenever the shoe restocks, Nike actually launches it in Milan, usually. It's super popular there. And same thing in Berlin, man. I see the silver bullets all the time. Same with the gold ones too, but more so the silvers. And you're right, like, it's impossible to really fault this shoe. It the silhouette with those, like, with that wave pattern, like, it just looks so perfect in that metallic silver color. You got the red swoosh, which, even though it's subtle, it pops off so much. The shoe just looks super fast. It looks like something from the future, even though it's not. I've always been such a big admirer of this shoe. It looks almost like a collab sneaker, actually, but it is just a general release of the Air Max 97, and easily, I think, deserve to be in the top three. And we have it at number two, which begs the question, what is our number one? And like Fab said, it's all opinions here. So this is just our opinion. At number one, we have the Sean Witherspoon Air Max 197. Yes, guys. I know it isn't from that long ago. We're talking about just 7 years ago that this sneaker came out. But in our opinion, it should be at the number one spot. It was the first time we've seen anyone really combine two super classic models of the Air Max into one. And typically we would say that don't even think of doing that. That is a terrible idea. Why would you combine the Air Max 1 with the Air Max 97? Sean, he was able to sketch out that design in 2017. It won the contest as the one sneaker that people wanted to see come to life. And when it did come to life, it looked, in my opinion, 100 times better than Sean had even drawn it up, than even the 3D images look like on the sneakers app back in 2017, because the real life product, I thought, was just incredible. The materials, the corduroy, the different colors, the way the colors all look together, and also just that 97 upper with that Air Max 1 bottom. It almost looked like why didn't anyone make this shoe already? It makes a lot of sense. Sean had the foresight to think of that shoe, put his beautiful colors on it. That shoe to me just screams like summertime vibes. Throw that on with a pair of shorts. You have to wear those with no-show socks, even though I'm not a big fan of no-show socks. Those shoes you got to wear with the no-show socks, I have to say. Let the shoes just stand out there. Yeah, man. Great, great shoe. Even though he combined two different models there, he really pulled it off. It's an iconic sneaker, one of the greatest. Forget Air Max sneakers. I think it's one of the best Nike sneakers, period. A grail for me. Oof. As well. I gotta get those.
That's a big shout. But I mean, we didn't take this choice lightly, right? This is our top 10 Nike Air Max sneakers of all time. And I think, yes, a lot of old heads are going to be like, what, you know, what about the Pata Nikes, or what about the Huffquake 90s, or what about the Warhawks, or what about this? And yeah, those are all great shoes, man. And 100% to be, you know, deserving of like a top five list or a top three list for, you know, other people. But the Sean Witherspoon Air Max 197s, they had the culture in a chokehold. They had them, yep, in a stranglehold when they came out, and people were fiending for them, drooling for them. And I remember, like, the colors that he used, the fact that he used corduroy on the 97 upper, and that everything fit together so well. As you were just saying, Josh, I mean, it was, I feel like revolutionary is a very strong word here, but it was definitely game changing. And it kind of is, for me, one of the only instances where like one of these hybrid sneaker designs actually works. And I know that this was kind of the catalyst for a lot of hybrid shoes to come out, and Nike followed it up with a bunch of hybrid shoes that were all, in my opinion, pretty bad. This shoe, man, it was good. It still is good, and it's going to be good in 10 years. And I think the longer we get away, or like the more time passes since the release, the more people will respect the shoe standing in Air Max history. And I think maybe recency bias will be called out now, but in 10, 15, 20 years, I don't think our opinion is going to change that much. And maybe other people who dismissed the shoe because it came out, what, 5 years ago, 6, 7 years ago, whenever it was, today, will think about it differently in 10 years, you know?
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm with you, man. I think, yeah, I don't think it's recency bias. I think even if the sneaker came out less than 7 years ago, I still don't see why it wouldn't be on this list. Maybe it wouldn't be number one, maybe, because it's too recent. But man, this sneaker, anytime I see it in public too, I'm always like drawn to it. I always think it looks beautiful in the summertime with some shorts on. Yeah, man. Sean, you killed it. You know, they were like that shoot made Sean pretty much a superstar, and it's almost like a gift and a curse, because after that shoe, pretty much all his future collabs, you know, it never quite lived up to that original one. Yeah. And people have kind of always held that against Sean. I think, you know, he did a pretty damn decent job with the recent Gazelle one, but you always kind of think of Sean and you think of that Air Max 97 one, and like since then, like there hasn't been anything of that sort from him. But that doesn't take away from the fact that this was just one of the greatest Air Max sneakers ever. And for us, for the Kickback Pod, it's number one.
Definitely. I think that's a good point as well, that it was so good that it launched his kind of career as a serial collaborator. Before we jump into the upcoming drops, let's run through the top 10 for you once again. So at number 10, we have the CDG Nike Air Max 180 pack. Number 9, we have the Nike Air Max 1 Pata The Wave pack. At number 8, we have the Nike Air Max 90 Independence Day pack. At number 7, we have the Nike Air Max 95 Neon. At number 6, we have the Cactus Plant Flea Market Vapor Max. At number 5, we have Dave Quality Meats Nike Air Max 90 Bacon. At number 4, we have the Off-White Air Max 90. At number 3, we've got the Atmos Nike Air Max 1 Elephant. At number 2, we have the Air Max 97 Silver Bullet. And at number 1, we have, as you just heard, the Sean Wotherspoon Nike Air Max 1 97. That is it for our top 10. Now let us jump into upcoming drops. Josh, do you want to take us through these?
Yes, because definitely some heat dropping to end us off in March. We'll start off with, I guess, today, the day you're listening to this podcast, March the 15th. You might have noticed earlier this morning the Adidas Yeezy Foam Runner. Yes, Adidas Yeezys are back on the Confirmed app. The Foam Runner in the gray colorway dropped, and there's supposedly rumors that this is possibly the last ever Foam Runner, as we won't be seeing any new colorways. So yeah, the gray colorway dropped, and then on March the 20th, we will be seeing the Nike SB Dunk Low collaboration with Raisa Leal, which, if you guys don't know who she is, definitely Google her. She is an absolutely insanely good skater. She's from Brazil, and I believe she's only like 15 or 16, and was one of the world's best skateboarders already. Moving on to March the 21st, we have the Nike Dunk Low Ugly Duckling pack. Oh, one of my favorite dunks, the plum colorway. already seeing a retro, like it's pretty fast to see a retro, if I'm being honest. I mean, the last time the shoe came out was just 4 years ago, but I guess Nike is still trying to squeeze whatever juice it can out of the Dunks, and bringing back the Plums is kind of funny already, but that will be dropping on the 21st. Also on the 21st, the Trophy Room Jordan 1 Low, the pairs that don't get backdoored, will be dropping on March the 21st. Good luck to all of you guys trying to get this shoe. Then on March the 22nd, we'll be seeing, it is Air Max month after all, so the Air Max 1 Royal colorway, a very, very clean pair, will be dropping. The Air Max 1 86, I should add, will be dropping. And then also, for all you ASICS fans out there, the Woodwood collab on the ASICS GT 2160 is dropping on March the 22nd. We also have another one from Amamanier. Amamanier been going crazy with the collabs over the last 3 years, and this one's no different. This is on the Airship, coming in this very nice green colorway. And then to end us off in the month, on the 26th, which is Air Max Day, Nike is dropping not one, not two, not three, not four, not five. We're talking about 11 different colorways of the Air Max DN. We'll be dropping a brand new silhouette from Nike. 11 different colorways dropping on this day, guys. That's kind of crazy. So I'm sure if you look at all the colorways, you will see one that you like. So make sure you check that out. And finally, on the 27th of March, we have the Jound Adidas Samba, a pair that I am super interested in because it is a pair that is made in Germany. There is, in fact, a tag on the sneaker which says made in Bavaria, which is very, very cool. Of course, hits close to home. So you guys know how much I love the Sambas, so I definitely want to get this pair for the Canadian-German connection there. So yeah, that's definitely circled on my calendar to end off the month. And with that, I wanted to thank all you guys for listening once again to the Kickback Pod. Thank you so much. We'll catch you guys in the next episode. JD signing off. See you next time, guys.
Thanks for listening, guys. Really fun episode. JD, shout out to you. Thank you for joining me on this one, and talk to you guys next time. Peace.